Coming good before you for the final denial of the evening for the grand finale. Keep up with me if you can. Hold on tight. We got 20 minutes to get a long way. First of all, I'm going to go to my chart, I guess number 14. I believe that's the number. Yes, it is. Chart number 14. Again, he said three gifts Paul mentioned that reveal God's will. Again, he said partial revelation and perfect revelation. Anyone find where the word revelation found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? He said three of these. But in my question, and I put up the question, he said only three of these is what Paul's referring to. But in the question, look here. Do elders of the church of Yeshua can pray for the sick according to James 5:14? Now, I read these questions in the first speech, so this is not necessary. I went over your answers. He says no. James 5:14 is referring to miraculous healing. Since we believe that miraculous, as in James 5:14, has ceased, I can put that other card back up there. But he says the fifth gift of healing does not have any reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the word of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues, the gift that gives the revelation. He's not yet given us a scripture that tells us that the revelation was given by the gift. So in his question, he'll admit the gift of healing is included in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I believe that knowledge, prophecy, and tongues represent all the spiritual gifts, as the majority of your brothers do that I've talked to. All right, chart number... Keep that chart up there. Revelation to the spiritual gifts. Everyone turn to Acts chapter 21. I refer to Acts chapter 21. It's up there on the chart. Agabus had supernatural knowledge of the assassination plot of Paul. He talks about, well, what if Agabus would have wrote? The Spirit would have told him to write. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark wrote. Now this is what, if you've had the book, listen, you've had the book. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I had a written debate with a gentleman in Oklahoma. He's had the book for Paul. I haven't had it at least for over 2 months. Month and a half, 2 months. He knows this information. He knows it's all in the book. I look at his, he's got a lot of stuff highlighted. Where does revelation come from? Where did the gospel message come from? Can you not find it in the Great Commission? Who said the words in Mark 16:16 that he's talking about? Well, what if the Spirit would have told Agabus? He doesn't believe in his baptism. Well, Jesus told him that in the flesh. It's not revealed through spiritual gifts. Agabus, Acts chapter 21, beginning at verse 10. And after appearing there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands with his feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Jerusalem. He gave Paul a word of wisdom, a personal word of wisdom. It does not have anything to do with Revelation and Testament Scriptures. He was already a believer, the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth thereout, should be great dearth throughout the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Again, Agabus had a personal word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. It was not some kind of revelation of the Scriptures. It was something personal. It was not something, no. Well, what about he that believeth and is baptized? It wasn't anything to do with the writing of the Scripture. I told you in Acts chapter 13, there were prophets in Antioch. Where does the Scripture say though? Acts chapter 21, Philip's four daughters prophesied. Where's the revelation they gave us? Well, he admitted just because you thought that, but didn't have to write it down. It was just called a favor. Now, he talked about Thayer, and then he said, you don't, this is Thayer's opinion. Well, you know, I didn't say I took Thayer over the Bible. I didn't say I took Thayer over the Bible. I didn't ask you. Do you not go to Thayer for some things? You've had Thayer on for your church. I would ask you, what about the baptism for the dead? Do you believe baptism for the dead like Thayer for the dead? He said, no. Well, I know you don't take Thayer over the Bible any more than I do. I'm going to put my chart up on the duration the church gets. Once again, for those of you that did not catch it, the reason why I put Sayer up here is because your brother, Dr. Diane Woods, and how to read the Greek New Testament, page 62, said Sayer's lexicon is the most authoritative in the world. I figure if this is your brother's most authoritative lexicon, I'm going to give it to you. Sayer says, page 618, the perfect state of all things, to be ushered in by the return of Christ in heaven. And then I told you, when my debate with John Lewis, I told you, he didn't have to take Sayer's word for it. He didn't have to take F.F. Bruce's word for it. You can take the Bible's word for it. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not say, waiting for the coming of the completed Bible, who shall conform you unto the end, that's me, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, he made something about who shall confirm. Once again, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1. Corinthians 1:6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. How does the Lord confirm? Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. 1 Corinthians 1:6-8, or 7-8, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you. Mark 16:20, confirming, working with them, confirming the word with signs following, how turned to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing them witness. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So we see that God does confirm with signs, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Ghost it's unto the end. And Mr. Donahue realizes that the end is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now he refers to the argument that I made. I said in 1 Corinthians 13:10, it said, well, that was the perfect gift. Come. The third time, I'll give you the illustration. If I told you something special was going to come, you would look for its coming. When he got over here to 2 Peter 3:3, I said, oh, we got the word come in 2 Peter 3:3. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this word, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Well, that text tells us what's going to come. That tells us exactly what's going to come. We're not in disagreement that scoffers are going to come. Okay, but how about 1 Corinthians 13:12? 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, but when that which is perfect is come. See, this is a scripture that's under examination. We're in disagreement on what that which is perfect is. So I ask you, give me one scripture that teaches that we're going to look for the coming of the completed Bible. He believes that that which is perfect is the completed Bible. I've asked him for one scripture for the coming of the completed Bible. I can give scripture after scripture after scripture for the coming of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I assume and I affirm that that which is perfect refers to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's what the New Testament teaches. My short, face to face. Face to face with the scriptures, and has he gone back and examined any of these scriptures? Did he look at any of these scriptures? Did he mention the fact that in Exodus 3:11 the Lord spake to Moses face to face, and in Deuteronomy 5:4 that there were physical manifestations, a literal physical fire? Did he refer to the fact that in Numbers 12 when the Lord spoke to Moses face to face and not in dark speeches, a direct parallel to 1 Corinthians 13, seeing through a mirror darkly? Dark speeches. He said, I don't speak to Moses in dark speeches. I speak face to face. In the Numbers 12, it says when he spoke face to face, he saw the form of the Lord. Can't you people see that when someone says they're going to talk to you face to face, they need to see you physically in person? 2 John 12, I trust to come unto you and speak face to face. Judges 6:22. And you've had this too. This was John Lewis's favorite thing in the written debate. Judges 6:22, I have seen an angel face to face. people, that is plain as day, that means he saw an angel of the Lord physically in person. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we will speak face to face. The conclusion is, face to face means to literally see someone physically in person. He said, well, what about looking into a mirror? What about looking into a mirror? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a reference to looking through the glass. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. But be ye doers also of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Mr. Wayne Grieson, in his debate, had an entire argument that this is the looking glass of God. So there, as you're looking through a mirror darkly, and here is face to face. The thing he needed to do was show the face to face with figures. He has not done that. All of these make to see literally, literally see someone physically in person. When that perfect has come, we will see face to face. Who will we see physically in person? 1 John 3 and 2, the love now is the Son of God. If that's not yet appears, what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. R3. Let's start R3. And now. He talks about the word now in verse 12 and the word now in verse 13. According to Bullinger, the word in verse 12, the word now in verse 12 means now of time just elapsed, at present at this moment. And verse 13, the word now means now at this moment, used exclusively of the present. R.D. Gingrich, page 546, says, but now, in reference to time. But now, at this very moment. Sayer says, now at this very moment. He has not dealt with any of those. A6. He said on his chart A6 that Jason admits that hope ends at the second coming. Actually, I made an argument from 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19 that in a sense, hope will be in heaven. Hope will be in the afterlife. If in this life only we have hope. That implies that in a sense there's going to be hope in the other life. His chart on the part and the perfect. Part and perfect, any one of them will say the same thing on. Okay, he went up to this argument again. This may not be the exact part that he used, but they're all basically the same thing. The in part and the perfect. He makes an illustration of a piece of a pie, a piece of an apple, and a whole apple. But once again, he believes that each piece is each incomplete book of the Bible. This is Matthew, this is Mark, and as I said before, the in part is going to cease. And those incomplete scriptures we're going to see. The book of Matthew sees, the book of Mark sees, the book of Luke sees, the book of John sees. His chart on Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, he says, he gets up here and tells me, he says, well, you might get up here and tell me some problems with this interpretation, but you need to come up here and explain the passage of Scripture. I'm in the negative. I'm not in the affirmative. I didn't make the argument. I don't have to explain anything about the passage. All I've got to show is it does not mean what he said. Give me the other chart where he had the first coming and second coming with Zechariah 13 on the false prophet. Now notice this. In that day, at the second coming, we got it from saying that the in that day was the time period of his death. Then he said the time period of his death equals the first coming. But just as John T. Lewis in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma said, and I believe that you agree with it, I know that I agree with it, do you believe that on the day of Pentecost was the birthday of the church? John Lewis, A church of Christ minister that I have met in Longville, Oklahoma said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, when it says it shall come to pass in the last days, that the last days of the church age, the period between Christ's two coming. The church did not start till after the first coming. The church will cease at the second coming. Therefore, if in that day refers to the period of his death, the church should not start till after his death, then the church should not have any true prophets. The church should have only had false prophets. But in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, which he never referred to, both Barnabas and Paul are referred to as prophets. Acts chapter 21, Philip's four daughters prophesied right here in this time period. They prophesied after his death, but before the second coming. But he said that true prophets cease after that day, after the period of his death. But the church did not start till after his death. Therefore, the church started after the period of his death, the period between Christ's and coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that women can prophesy in the church. But he says, no, those are all false prophets, because prophets cease when Jesus Christ died.
Four minutes.
My chart, number 45. Never refer to this. This was his scripture to prove that face-to-face does not mean to see someone physically in person. Exodus 33:20. And he said, thou canst not see my face. That was his scripture that he used. For thou shalt no man see me and live. Did he ever refer to this? This was my rebuttal. This means that no one can see God in his raw spirit form. It does not mean he can set my feet in a physical manifestation. Isaiah 6 and 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Exodus 24 and 10, and they saw the God of Israel. So that destroys the fact that they said you couldn't see God face to face. So face to face does not mean seeing physically in person. My chart number 31. He talks about tongues, prophecy, and knowledge. Flip it over. Give a partial revelation. They had partial revelation. This does not describe partial revelation. To my knowledge, he's not said anything about Acts 20:27. Never said anything about this chart. Paul said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you part of the counsel of God. No, that's not what it said. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul did not have partial revelation. He had all revelation. The word counsel, boule, fair, blessed, count, page 104, all the contents of the divine plan. Now he said he only had part of the contents of the divine plan. But Paul said he had all the contents of the divine plan. We got Pat Donahue versus Paul. Martin Jager said, the divine will. He knew all the divine will. But Pat Donahue was just, no, he just had partial revelation. And partial revelation would be given over to complete revelation. When we get the completed Bible, then he cannot find one scripture. I've only asked you for one single scripture out of 66 books of this Bible. One scripture teaching us to look for the coming of the completed Bible. Greek English lexicon. John Lewis at least took a stab. He at least took a stab. Greek English lexicon, United Bible Society. I have not held back from announcing to you the whole purpose of God. Really, the Zechariah 13 thing, that's kind of neat. But I was really expecting something on that tongue. The word tongue used 125 times in Christ. Never completed the Bible. He had about 2 months to study that out. Now, John took a real good stab at that. I was expecting you to go on with what he said. But no, he didn't take a stab at it. He created a smoke screen, but there was going to come a sulfur. Yeah, but that can't tell us what's going to come. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that which is perfect. That's what we're debating. What is that which is perfect? He says it's the completed Bible. Put up the chart on the gifts, the completed Bible, and the second coming. He says the completed Bible. But he can't find one scripture that says the completed Bible is going to come. Friends, let's let you decide. The completed Bible versus the second coming. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge is going to cease at the second coming. Never refer to this. We've got now fully as we are fully known. Fully known by who? by God. That's what's implied. We shall know fully as we are fully known by God. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Faith, miracles, gifts of healing will cease at the second coming when there will be no more sickness. Prophecy will cease at the second coming because all prophecies will be fulfilled in the age to come. Discerning of spirits will cease at the second coming because all the demons will be cast into hell. Tongues and interpretation of tongues will cease at the second coming because we're all going to speak the same language. It'll no longer be in part. We won't just have a part or a word of wisdom. We'll know fully, even as we are fully known. We'll no longer have faith, miracles, and gifts of healing in part because there won't be any more sickness. We will have prophecy in part because all prophecies will be fulfilled. Discerning of spirits will be in part because there will not be any spirits to discern.